The views expressed on AM360 by the host, hostesses, or guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific and personal medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM360 or CWSC. We encourage you to consult an advisor for your specific circumstances.
You have listened to us over 500,000 times. American Muslim 360.
That's interesting.
Assalamu alaikum. This is American Muslim 360 radio broadcast.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahmanir Rahim. Malik Yawm al-Din. Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in. Ihdina الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
American Muslim 360 is
too legit, too legit to quit.
We will never quit. American Muslim 360, your number one Muslim radio station.
You can't touch this. You can't touch this.
Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invites you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at cwsconline@gmail.com. That's cwsconline@gmail.com. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
Welcome to American Muslim 360. This is the broadcast of Interfaith Dialogue, hosted by Imam Dr. Afsia Muhammad, as we await him on the studio board. I see someone has pressed 1 on their phone. This may be his phone number. Error code 718712.
Yes, that's my number.
This is not the number, my brother, that I was looking for, but praise be to Allah. I'm grateful that you are here. Alhamdulillah. Yes, proceed with your most excellent broadcast. Assalamu alaikum.
Thank you very much. Yes, I'm using my landline, but I didn't realize that you didn't have this number. Sorry about that. And we just apologize for the technical glitches. But with God's name, the Merciful, Benefactor, the Merciful Redeemer, we ask for God's grace and His mercy upon us and upon all of our people, that we might grow and advance ourselves, advance our community, that we might be a people with a unique identity here in the United States of America. I am just simply delighted to host this program, Interfaith Dialogue. This is our debut program. And it's going to be an educational program looking at major theological issues that have impacted humanity. And we're going to be focusing in on all three of the monotheistic faith traditions. We're going to be doing some comparisons and contrasts. So since a few minutes elapsed, let me get right into our subject matter today. And what we're going to focus on today, we're going to look at Genesis, the book of Genesis. And we're going to look at the creation story, the story of Adam's creation and the story of Eve's creation. And we're going to be comparing it with the Quran, as well as the biblical scripture. We're going to be doing some comparisons and contrasts. I've been studying these issues for a very long time. In fact, just about 40 years of examining the scripture. And that is both Bible and the Quran. So let's get right into it. The word Genesis means the source of or the origin. And the Bible opens up by saying, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And I want to just let the listening audience know, if you want to call in to ask a question or make a comment, just feel free, just hit the number one on your phone, and then that'll get you right into the program so that you can make a comment or ask a question. So in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. God said, let there be light. And there was light. Now, these verses are purported to be verses that speak to what happened in the beginning. And the question is, who was there in the beginning to have recorded what happened? It is said that the first five books of the Torah were written by Moses. And when we properly analyze it, Moses was not around in the beginning. And this is before God created the human being. But Moses was not around. And so the question is, when was Genesis written? Because we know by just common reason that this book could not have been written in the beginning of all things, because there was no person around to have written this book. What the biblical scholars say about the writing of Genesis is very interesting. They say that this first book of the Bible, Genesis, was written around 587 BCE, and that is before the Common Era, before the Christian era or the Christian period. During the Babylonian captivity, Babylon seized Judah, and they captured many of the children of Israel, focusing particularly on the wise leaders of that area, and they brought them into Babylon under captivity. And it was through the stress and the strain of that captivity that the wise leaders among the children of Israel wrote these scriptures. And this is a theory from the rabbinical scholars of Judaism. Now, who wrote these scriptures of the Old Testament or the Hebrew Bible? And the answer is the rabbinical scholars and the Christian scholars have no idea who actually wrote these scriptures. And so they have assigned a theory, and they use for this theory certain letters to indicate a group of people who wrote certain portions of this early scripture. For example, they'll use the P for the priestly order, and they say that portions of the scripture is written by the priestly order, but we don't know who these people are. We have no idea the names of these people. They use the D for the Deuteronomist, and they believe that the whole book of Deuteronomy was written by the Deuteronomist, who recounted some of the history, particularly the history of Moses and other history of the children of Israel. They used the J for the Yahweh, and the Yahweh, anywhere you see Jehovah mentioned by name, it is believed that the Yahweh, using the J, and actually the J was silent. There was no J, so they used Yahweh rather than Jalus. Yahweh. They wrote, and the E writers, the Elohists, where God is mentioned as Elohim, they wrote that portion of the scripture. So for the Old Testament, or for the first five books of the Torah, no one knows actually who wrote these scriptures. And that's going to be very interesting when we go further with our conversation. Now, the creation. What rabbinical scholars say about the creation of the heavens and the earth and the creation of light and all that follows the creation of the animals is that this book is not about what happened in the beginning. It is not about the physical creation of the world at all. And so if this is interesting to some or mesmerizing to others, what I'd like you to do is just breathe in and out very slowly, because we're going to mention a lot of different things that perhaps some people have never heard before in their lives. And some may already know some of the things that we're talking about. But if, like I said, if you have any comments or questions, feel free to hit number one on your phone and call in. And so what is this if it's not about the creation in the very beginning? Then what is it? And where it says, let there be light, it is about the illumination and the enlightenment of common humanity. This is what it's about. It is about the human being coming into the light of knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. And then it goes on talking about the creation. And at the end of 7 days, it says God rested, creation of the heaven and the earth. And it's interesting that God says that he rested on the seventh day from all of the work that he had done in creating light, creating the firmament, creating the waters, creating the land, creating the fruits, and creating human beings. And after creation of all of these things, the Bible says, and God slept on the seventh day. And when he said he slept, there's no record whatsoever of God ever waking up again from his deep sleep. And God said, this is Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So let us make man in our image. Now we're going to be comparing the Quranic verses to some of these biblical verses so that we will be able to see more light into what's actually being said. Let us make man in our image and in our likeness. So who is the us? And who is making man in our image? Some will say, well, this is God making man in his own image. Well, we could look at it that way. Now, because if you look at the human being really does manifest more of the attributes of God than any other creature, in that the human being's capacity, not only himself but other creatures, is greater than any other creature that God created on earth. His capacity to love, his capacity for forgiveness, his capacity to provide for other creatures and care for the existence of other creatures other than himself. These qualities of the human being is greater than these qualities that exist in creatures that God created, like the animals and the birds and the fish. And so in that sense, yes, we are created in the image of God to that extent. And as the Quran says, that God's attributes, he holds the treasures of these attributes far greater in dimension than any of the other creations that he created. And so we only have a little bit of these attributes that we actually work with. But the us, let us make man. What's actually happening here, and the Quran speaks of this, is that you have the us is a type of man that's setting out to change and alter the creation of God, not keeping them in the image that God created them, but altering that image so that that image can be in their image and in their likeness. Then it says, then have dominion over the fish of the sea. Now, this word dominion is a sweet way of saying domination. Dominion means domination over. So these people who are making and transforming and changing the human creation intends to dominate and rule over and control the human creation that God made. So I hope some of these points are really clear for everybody. So we as human beings are created with the ability to manifest the attributes and qualities of God more than any other creature that God created. And on the seventh day, God ended, according to the Bible, his work, which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all of his works, which he had made. And this is Genesis chapter 2, verse 2. And this sleep, God sleeping on the seventh day, set the stage for Iblis to take over and shake the world in his image and likeness. Now you say, well, who is Iblis? In the Quran, God also speaks of the same story that we have in the biblical scripture. And God speaks of this story almost using the same kind of language. But the story is tweaked in certain ways. For God says that this Quran actually confirms that which was revealed before. And it clarifies what was revealed before.
Dr. Askia?
Yes,
we
sir.
We are at the halfway point. We shall pause now for station identification and a few public service announcements. Don't touch that dial. We'll be back in a while. Alhamdulillah, you are listening to American Muslim 360, the number one Muslim radio station in the nation. And this is the broadcast of Interfaith Dialogue, hosted by Imam Dr. Askia Hamid, Askia Muhammad. Inshallah, we'll be right back.
Stop the music.
Form alliances, be conscious, believe, make effort, be persistent in making an effort, the right effort. Don't let up, keep the drive, but also form alliances to be successful. And that's what this conference invites us to. This conference, by its very presence and the makeup of this conference, the persons who are here, their personal experiences, knowledge, and resources. And a community needs to hear from males and females, not just males. And then someone who is knowledgeable of the makeup of this conference, the persons and the skills, someone should know all of us, should have pretty good knowledge of all of us and what we have to offer. If we don't have this, we can grow into this. You know, maybe I'm speaking beyond what we have right now. But that doesn't mean we can't do this. We have to grow into it if we don't have it.
Assalamu alaikum. God's peace be with you. I'm Mukhtar Muhammad, Executive Director for the Community Wide Shura Conference, or CWSC, a national intelligentsia and the parent corporation for American Muslim 360. I'm inviting you to be my guest on a special series entitled Getting to Know the CWSC. And it'll be in place of our regularly scheduled Friday roundtable. But don't worry, Mark Shahid will be back in the host seat the following Friday. Getting to Know the CWSC will air every 8 weeks. This new program will be a unique opportunity to hear directly from the executive director. will be an in-depth discussion on the conceptualization and building a national intelligentsia to serve the group intellect. We'll take you inside our architecture, mission, vision, and guiding principles, and our family of intelligentsia components, including America Muslim 360. So stay tuned to hear more about getting to know the CWSC. I look forward to talking with you soon. Assalamu alaikum.
Community-wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invites you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at cwsconline@gmail.com. That's cwsconline@gmail.com. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
And we are back. This is the broadcast of Interfaith Dialogue, hosted by Imam Dr. Askia Muhammad. Imam Askia Muhammad?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you, my brother. For the listening audience, I want to just focus on the community, because what I want to try to do is to show how these stories in the Bible and in the Quran affect the growth and development of the human community. And I say the human community because I don't want to focus on any particular nation or state. You know, we, as human beings, we form communities. It's in our nature, according to what was revealed in the Quran to us, that this desire, this instinct to form communities is natural. Now, how does these stories impact the human community, the creation story? The woman being formed from the rib of Adam, and then the woman partaking of the forbidden fruit, bringing curse and punishment on Adam and on the whole human community, according to Scripture. How does that impact? How does that impact the women in society? When we reflect on the fact that it was the woman who dealt with the serpent, and the book says that this serpent was a real cunning and subtle creature, that this serpent approached the woman in a very sly way and was able to deceive and trick the woman, according to biblical scripture, and make her eat of the forbidden fruit, because both Adam and Eve, according to the biblical scripture, knew with certainty that the tree garden was not to be eaten. And as God says in the Quran, by deception, the Satan or the serpent brought about their fall. And so when we look at how women are treated throughout the world, and especially in the Judeo-Christian faith traditions and in Islam, we see that it's not pretty in some instances. And we have to look at the fact that
these stories are not simple stories put together. These stories were written by geniuses, people that was well-learned and well-studied. I would even call them scientists who put these stories together, because from these stories, worlds are shaped from these stories. Whole worlds come out of these stories, and the structure of the human community is born. The rights between men and women are shaped by these biblical and Quranic stories. And so this is why these stories are important. And so one of the reasons why I went to New York Theological Seminary to the biblical scripture is because I knew that it is from the words that are etched in the Bible, the Torah and the Injil, as we say as Muslims, shape the world that we live in today. This world that we live in today is shaped by the Judeo-Christian scriptures. And so I wanted to get a better understanding of what exactly was going on with how this story of Adam's creation and Eve's creation impacts the society that we live in today. And we also wanted to know, where are we going as we delve deeply into the Quranic scripture as well, to see where are we going as a people and as a community. Now, this was very interesting to me. And so we have the woman being created from the rib. We have the fall after the fruit is eaten. We have the fall of Adam and Eve, and both of them are cursed. The woman is said to God will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. And so there will be enmity between everyone. And the Quran carries basically the same ideas, that there will be enmity and strife between them. And the man is also, punished. And it says of the woman that her husband shall dominate her and rule over her. You know, so I can imagine this is not pretty to women, you know, because no one wants to be ruled over and dominated. You know, God created us to have a free spirit, and that's both men and women. So these stories have impacted human society for all of the days of our lives. Now, as we approach the end of our program, I want to just focus on the Quran and sort of tie both stories together. In the Quran, in Surah 2, verse 30, God says, "Behold, the Lord said to the angels, I will create a vice general, a khalifa, in the earth." Fil ard means in the earth. And they said, "Will thou place therein one who will make mischief therein and shed blood?" And God says, "I know what you know not." Now, these verses from the first surah of the Quran, verse 30 to 39, these verses regarding Adam and the issues and matters that occurred with him actually depict about 6,000 years of human history. 1,000 years of human history is captured in these 9 verses or 9 ayat. And if we can read the verses of this symbolic story, just as it's written in the Bible, if we could read it as it's written in the Quran, the common person will be equipped to understand what exactly was occurring in 6,000 years of human history. And you won't have to deal with his story. You'll be able to ascertain the truth of what was going on. See, a lot of times there's so much illusion and imagery and fake news that we don't get to know the truth of what's really going on. We might see things with our own eyes, and you might hear information coming from the television, from the news reporters. But invariably, we're not getting the truth of what's happening. So we could be right there and not know what is going on. And this is why God, from time to time, revealed his prophets and messengers.
Imam Mafia, you are breaking up. Yes, sir, you are breaking up. If you would speak directly into your phone and into your mic and make clear up the distortion we're hearing. Thank you, my
brother. Okay, is that better? Is that better?
Yes, sir, that's very, yes, sir, very clear. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Right. And so we want to understand what is going on. What is the truth of matters? People say, well, did Adam actually live in the garden? Did that actually happen? And I have to say, these stories, the actual truth of what happened, if they're read properly and if they're properly understood. And it's more truth than we're going to get in from any other source that which God revealed. And I want to just go into some of the symbols here in the Quran to help facilitate understanding. And maybe with the last few minutes, we could answer questions, or someone wants to make a comment or statement, we could allow for that. God says, behold, he said to the angels, I'm creating a vicegerent on earth. Now, what happened when the serpent approached Eve? From the biblical story, the serpent gained ascendancy over Adam and Eve. And we already mentioned that God had took a nap, fell asleep. And so here we have a story where God is sleeping, and there's no verse that says and God woke up from his nap or from his sleep, from his rest. So we have a story where the serpent is gaining ascendancy over humanity, over Adam and Eve, and over everything. The serpent has gained power and authority. And so the Quran comes in addressing this critical problem in the history of humanity. And God says he's creating a khalifa. Khalifa is a new system coming in that's going to deal with this serpent, and how this serpent is evolving and gaining strength and gaining power and gaining authority over the human communities across the world. And God's solution is that he's creating a khalifa, a system that's going to replace the old system of rule over the people. And they said, is this person, they said, is this one that you're going to create, going to shed blood and create mischief? Now, here God is addressing the angels, according to this verse in the Quran. God is addressing the angels. And the angels
their nature is to totally submit. The angels have no free will, according to our Islamic tradition. The angels are servants of God. So who is asking this question of what God is getting ready to do?
Dr. Askia, we have a caller on the line.
Okay.
Yes, sir. Erica 302-345, please state your name and where you're calling from, please. Welcome to Interfaith Dialogue.
Yes, this is Brother Abdul Hakim out of Danville, Virginia. Assalamu alaikum, Dr. Askia Muhammad.
Wa alaikum assalam.
And good evening to you, my dear brother, Imam Kareem. You know, this is a very interesting program, and I know it's the debut program for Interfaith Dialogue, but we have a lot of folks that were probably tuning in, and myself, you know, most of us in this country being brought up in the Christian religion and reverting back to our true calling, to the calling of the one true religion of Al-Islam. I would think that the terminologies that are being used that purported these folks that wrote these stories in the Bible that you're trying to draw a comparison to, I think that there are a lot of laymen out there. And if I haven't, you know, been open to the language of Imam Wafid Muhammad, who have brought such a tremendous transformation to African Americans in this country, especially those of us who are Muslims. If I was still a Christian, I would sort of be lost, you know, as to the point that you're trying to make, because there's only one truth that we can accept today. There's only one truth. And you're telling the story the way that you're telling it, I'm a bit confused myself. And I'm putting myself in layman's shoes now, addressing you. The question of the Bible versus the Quran or the Torah of the Jewish folks, okay? How can everything that you've been talking about so far be aligned into the acceptance of this one truth for the human beings here on this earth?
Okay, that's an excellent question. And what we know with certainty is that the Quran is addressing the issues and problems from Scripture that went before it. And it serves as a confirmation and a clarification of that which went before it. And so if anybody is confused, you know, just hang in there, listen. This is the first program we're doing.
Yes,
and we're getting a feel of what we need to do, or you know, who we need to address. And I think maybe as we go on, we'll get more Christian callers. And I plan to bring on some Christians and Jews onto the program as guests so that we could deal with some of these issues. But I want to just show that there is a dynamic connection. It's not even
yes,
a passive connection. It's a dynamic connection that from the Quran with the Bible. And I've studied both scriptures. And with the Quran, I've studied the Arabic of the Quran, which is the only Quran, is the Arabic. And I'm trying to make I'm trying to draw a comparison. But if there's any confusion, I want everybody to understand that this story, the Adam's creation, where God mentions the creation of Adam in the Quran, represents 6,000 years of human history and what exactly was going on. This is the, I think, critical point that I'm trying to make. And, you know, time doesn't allow me to do it. And, you know, we lost a few minutes in the early part of the program, but we're going to get there. And I just ask you to hang in there with your brother, you know. I love
absolutely,
all of you.
Absolutely. But I text a lot of folks, and, you know, I'm here in this Bible Belt down here in the South, and a lot of my folks are Christians and friends are Christians, you know. So I just want them to understand why I asked the question. And I'm glad that you are explaining it in the way that you're explaining it, so that they will come back time and time again, so that we can all come to the recognition and realization of this one truth for the human being, inshallah. And I thank you so very much.
And I thank you, because I hope I was not communicating different truths and different realities. You know, one thing is building on the other. One thing is correcting the other. One thing is refining the other. So they're all working together. And, you know, one of the things that God said, and for you, my brother, God said to Iblis is asking Allah, grant me respite until the day they're raised, you know. And so that respite time, you know, has its limits. And there will come a time when those things that were not clear will become clear, you know, for all humanity. And God promises that he's going to make things clear. You know, there's a verse in the Quran that says no soul will be able to deny it this day that's coming, where things will be clear, crystal clear for people. So so thank you for calling. Now I want to just close out on this on some a few points from the Quranic verse, and then I'm going to maybe, if I could just have maybe about 5 more minutes to just do a little bit more elaboration, and then I'm gonna see if there's anyone else that want to make a comment or a question, and then we'll move on.
Dr. Askia, shall utilize our grace period. So, you know, take your time, and, you know, we have some extra time here, and we do have some callers on the line, but you can utilize as much of this time as needed to elaborate and bring clarity to your earlier statements. Thank you, my brother.
Okay, thank you, and the call that's on the line, just hang in there. Give me a few minutes. It's not that easy to do this in 2 or 3 minutes. So, dear listeners, we're talking about a piece of the scripture from the Quran that represents 6,000 years of our history. And so let me get back into it. So, you have in this meeting, according to the Quran, and this is a symbolic story. This story is a symbolic story. You have in this meeting the angels, and you also have Iblis there at the meeting. But Iblis is not mentioned. Only the angels are mentioned. And Iblis and his hosts, they're not mentioned. And one of the reasons why they're not mentioned is because they're doing certain things, and God in the Quran does not mention them until he teaches Adam, and Adam is the one who recognizes, wait a minute, you guys are not angels, you guys are Iblis, and Iblis is the jinn, you guys are the jinn. You know, Adam recognized that first, and then Iblis was mentioned. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14, it says, and no wonder, for Satan himself disguises himself as an angel of light. And so this is what Iblis and his folks are doing. They're disguising themselves as angels. And when God taught Adam, Adam was able to point this out. And you had the serpent, which is Iblis, and the serpent and Satan is all the same. All of these characters are the same. Satan, Iblis, and the serpent. They're all the same people. So the Satan, from biblical scripture, Satan, the serpent, had gained ascendancy
for he felt himself qualified to be among the angels. As God was addressing the angels to let him know that he was going to raise up common humanity, and common humanity is depicted in Adam. And so God taught Adam the names of all things. Now, names. Not only did God teach Adam the names of, like, the animals, a cow, a horse, a chicken, but names also refer to the nature of these creatures. And it says that he taught him the names of everything. So that's the animate and inanimate things. He taught him the names of these things. And names mean their nature, their function, their purpose created. This is what Adam comprehended. The word for names in Arabic is asma'a. And asma'a is similar to the word Sama'a, which means the sky. And so asma'a means the highest qualities of a thing, the salient qualities of a creation. This is what Adam comprehended. What are the salient qualities? What are the real purposes for which a particular creation was formed? So when Adam looked at the angels, God said, tell me their names. Adam didn't have to tell the angels their names because the angels were already convinced in the majesty of what God was doing with respect to the creation of the human family. But then he said, he turned to some others and said, tell them their names. And Adam was instructed to tell them their names. And the them was these other people that were there. And they, the other people that were there, were under the title of Iblis. And if I don't say anything else, I have to tell you this, that Iblis.
No, it isn't. I'm going to alert him that it's time to open up the line.
Okay. Oh, you. Yeah. Okay. So, now who is Iblis? Iblis is representative of the priestly order over the religions of the world. Okay. So, maybe I'll stop right there. And anyone that wants to call in or ask a question or make a comment, feel free.
Yes, sir. If I may, I would like to make a few brief comments. You are right on point, my brother. You are right on point. The questions that you posed from the beginning of this expose are questions that need to be asked. Who was there in the beginning to write these words? These are not just questions that we ask. The Christians now are asking these same questions, you know, and they need answers. And the Quran, alhamdulillah, gives answers to the previous scriptures that came before. And you're right on point in that the angels represent, the Iblis represents the religious hierarchy,
yes,
that was acting in the role of the angel, and they felt that they should rule and not the common man. We have a caller on the line now. I want to, inshallah, open up the lines now. Air code 727201, Sister Martha Nyla.
Yes, it is. And greetings to everyone. Assalamu alaikum, Imam Dr. Askia Muhammad. Thank you again. Alhamdulillah. And my question, part of what Kareem just asked, I was going, yes, that was what I remembered too. And but along with that, you pointed out the actions of man so many years ago. And my question was around the animalistic part of us that, and because I wanted to step away from, you know, a sect of people and just look at mankind, period, the self-preservation. And do you think that can be one of the angles of away from, as well with religion, but just that self-preservation that man began to combat with one another, whatever the differences were, before they could evolve to the Enlightenment period that you began to speak about?
Yes. The human being, you know, upon creation, lived just like the animals, because the human being did not have any idea whatsoever, my dear sister, of its potential. And so it lived like the animals. We ate, you know, had sex, reproduced, build little shelters for ourselves, like hunter-gatherer societies. You know, we all started as hunter-gatherer societies. And that existed for a long period of time. And in the 76th surah of the Quran, God mentions, haven't there been a long period of time before insan, the rational human being, was not even a thing mentioned? And so a long period of time, according to the Quran, existed when human beings lived on the level of the animals. But what God did was he revealed to his prophets and messengers, and that revelation that touched the common humanity across the world began to advance the human being, culminating with the revelations given to all of the prophets over the children of Israel, where God put his focus on the children of Israel to set a permanent example in the earth. And we learn that from Moses, we get the laws of Moses, which forms the foundation of the legal system for Christians as well as for Muslims. Even the Sharia is based on the Mosaic law that came before, you know, making some tweaks here and there, but it's based on the Mosaic law. And so from the law, you know, the eye for an eye, tooth for tooth, you know, that taught the law of equality and how the law is to be equally demonstrated. Thou shalt not murder. Murder was declared by God to be against God's natural order, because humanity didn't handle murder as a violation of the divine law. They handled murder with revenge and then revenge and revenge, you know. And so the law began to civilize the human family, and when Jesus came, the law was even further refined. And as Jesus said, think not that I come to change the law, but to fulfill. So Jesus began to refine the law, and when Islam came, the revelation of the Quran further refined and brought new dimensions to the law. And one day we'll have a chance to talk about that, but humanity has been on a quest for higher levels of attainment and achievement, and actually living out the nature, and the full potential of that nature has now, after the revelation of the Quran, that full potential can be realized. And so humanity has been gradually under the rub,
of Allah for the Muslims who are listening. God says that he is the Rabb, the Nas. He is the evolver, the cherishing sustainer of the common masses of the people. You know, leaders and people's priests and, you know, this priestly order that has been dominant in ruling over the people. It is God himself who evolves common humanity. And Yes.
Yes, sir. We are, unfortunately, we are into our grace period, and because of the lapse of time starting a little late, we are really pushing it now. We are into the grace period. We do not want the Blog Talk system to shut down on us. So we shall, praise be to Allah. Everyone can see that this is the most valuable subject matter that you are broaching, and we definitely look forward to more coming from this broadcast here. If you would, at this time, enter into a few closing remarks and contact number, and when we can connect with this most valuable broadcast that you are hosting. The interfaith dialogue, if you would, please, my brother.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. Now, I'm really privileged and delighted to be the host of this program, Interfaith Dialogue with Imam Askiya Muhammad. And I want to just let the listening audience know that we're going to be coming on from 7 to 8 on Sunday, rather than coming on from 9 to 10. So if everyone would just jot that down, we're going to be coming on every Sunday from 7 to 8. And, Eastern Standard Time. Yeah, thank you for that, my brother. Yeah, Eastern Standard Time. And I want to just close out with saying a little bit about me. First and foremost, I'm a student of Imam W.D. Muhammad. Imam W.D. Muhammad, when he came into office, I was 16 years of age, and I pledged myself to help him remake the world, you know. And I heard Brother Mukhtar mention this. He was also very young when Imam Muhammad came into office. I was born in the Nation of Islam, so I'm actually, I feel, a product of this community and its evolution. And you know, there's many of us who were young teenagers when Imam Muhammad came in, all across the country, and I'm just one of them, you know. And what I want to do is bring a powerful message dealing with all of the monotheistic faith traditions to show how all of the traditions are designed to work for the advancement of the human community. And my personal goal is to build community to the point of community self-sufficiency. We're working on moving this community to a development wherein it could feed, clothe, shelter, and educate itself in preparation for future generations. So this is what we're working on. And I want to bring these ideas and concepts and theology to the fore so that these tools from both the Bible and Quran can be used as a foundation for building our community with the new concepts and ideas that will bring freedom, justice, and equality to us as a people and establish our dignity and self-respect in the world. So these are concepts that we're dealing with. We don't want to just deal with theology in the air, in a vacuum. We want to bring everything to the ground, upon the earth. And this is why when we pray, we focus on the earth with our eyes wide open, because it is on the earth that we will establish ourselves. It's all about establishment. And God has promised that he will establish us. So dear believers, let us realize that beliefs have consequences, repercussions and ramifications. Beliefs have consequences, consequences and ramifications. You know, we just do not have the luxury to believe anything we want. It ought to be based in truth and in reality. So thank you very much, and may God's blessings be upon all of you as I look forward to hearing from you and you hearing from me next Sunday at 7 p.m. Thank you very much. Assalamu alaikum. That is, peace be unto you.
Wa alaikum assalam. Alhamdulillah. Oh, what an excellent broadcast, what excellent subject matter. Praise be to Allah. We look forward to hearing more from our Imam, Dr. Askia Muhammad. What a rich, rich conversation, rich enlightenment. You are listening to American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation. And this was the broadcast of the Interfaith Dialogue. I would like to invite you tomorrow morning to tune back into American Muslim 360, beginning with the broadcast entitled The Retro. Retro. It is a commentary of the founder of American Muslim 360, our beloved brother Thomas Abdul Salam Rahimallah Alehi. May Allah grant him the highest station in the paradise. And that broadcast begins alhamdulillah. That broadcast begins at 6 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. No, pardon me. That broadcast begins at 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 a.m. Central Standard Time, and 4 a.m. in the Mountain and Pacific Time. And we ask that you stay tuned following that excellent broadcast for the broadcast of the Pearls of Women. The Pearls of Women, hosted by our learned sister, Niamat Shahid. Niamat Shahid. Following that broadcast, alhamdulillah, we have for your holistic health, Dr. Abdel J. Nuruddin, a natural practitioner with the natural sources for healing through nature and the knowledge of scripture and there is no illness for which Allah have not provided a cure except death. So we ask that you tune in for your holistic health to our Dr. Abdel J. Nuruddin. Then we ask, alhamdulillah, that you call back in to American Muslim 360 for the broadcast of Talk Unchained, hosted by Dr. Marlon Aldridge. Dr. Marlon Aldridge brings very provocative commentary from out of the social order. He is a professor of physics, and his presentation comes from logical connections based upon the questions of what we are experiencing in our life at this time. So we look forward to seeing you on the airways of American Muslim 360, and we are grateful to our Imam Dr. Askia Muhammad for an excellent presentation this evening, and we look forward to hearing more from him inshallah, next Sunday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, and 5 p.m. in the Mountain and Pacific Time. We welcome him with a warm embrace, and what an excellent topic that he is presenting here on the airways of American Muslim 360. All praises due to Almighty God. So this ends our period of broadcast this beautiful Sunday night, and we came to you with the greetings of peace, We leave you with the greetings of peace. As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. May the peace and blessings of Almighty God be upon us all. May we purify our intentions and keep our hearts right. As-salamu alaykum.
Shine for the world to see. Keep your heart.